and welcome to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation Restaurant News. I'm your host, Holly Petrie, here with this week's episode. I spoke with Andy Brooks, Chief Marketing Officer, and Sandra Noonan, Chief Sustainability Officer at Just Salad this week, to discuss their new meal kits. Now, Just Salad, at the beginning of the pandemic, started with grocery and did Just Grocery, where they sold a lot of goods that naturally came through the restaurant that they had in their supply chain to customers in the New York City area who were dealing with a lot of issues at food stores and getting access to food or normal groceries that were out of stock. So now, almost a year after the pandemic began, this brand that is leading the way in sustainability has decided to enter the meal kit market. These aren't an average meal kit. They don't come with a subscription. You buy them one-offs and they're delivered to your house in around an hour, give or take. But they are made with almost 100% recyclable packaging, with the exception of one little piece that holds the spices that is compostable. But each kit gives you complete instructions not only on how to cook the food, but on how to recycle every piece, including the sticker on the outside of the bag that is water soluble. And now that you've heard my whole spiel, without further ado, here is Andy Rooks, Chief Marketing Officer, and Sandra Noonan, Chief Sustainability Officer at Just Salad. I'd love to hear kind of what the inspiration was for the meal kit.
Sandra, you were there at the beginning. You want to take this one?
In early 2020, at the height of the COVID pandemic, Holly, we observed that there was a shortage of groceries in certain Manhattan neighborhoods. And at the time, Just Salad was delivering 10,000 meals a day to healthcare workers and grappling with the magnitude of the COVID crisis and wondering how can our business survive this crisis and help the community survive the crisis at the same time. And so we initially started a brand called Just Grocery, a play on the Just Salad name, and started selling grocery staples. And over time, Just Grocery evolved into a conviction that we had something special to offer in the meal kit space. And we knew we had a delicious culinary offering, but very early on, we said, how do we reduce the environmental footprint of meal kits and make this an innovation play as well as a culinary play? And that began a very long process of innovating the meal kit model.
And so you guys introduced, Sandra, this may be a question for you as well. You introduced carbon labeling during the pandemic, was really when it had its big marketing push. So did any of that factor into the menu inspiration for some of these meal kits, or kind of how did the menu portion of it work out?
Thanks for asking that. So we, in our carbon labeling work, we became very cognizant of the items on our menu that were higher emissions versus lower emissions. And obviously that included animal protein, and also our dressings that were dairy-based were surprisingly, in their magnitude, higher in carbon emissions than our non-animal protein items. And when we were formulating the house-made culinary lineup, very early on, we said we should really include some vegan options, feature Beyond Beef. So it wasn't that carbon labeling was an explicit topic in the house-made discussions, but it just redoubled our commitment to offering earth-friendly, lighter impact culinary options. And guess what? Our top-selling meal kits are in the vegan category. So we're really happy that we did make that decision.
And so, Andy, from kind of a larger, not as narrow on the sustainability, but from a larger perspective, how did sort of this menu planning in the vegan and vegetarian and gluten-free and all the options that Just Salad offers,
how did that factor into kind of making these meal kits and marketing them?
Yeah, in terms of the culinary side, it's very interesting. The impetus came from, you know, what can we do to transform our current supply chain into this other product, something that's not salad? And so that was the impetus. How do we continue to evolve that? And our brilliant culinary director, Johnny, who could probably answer this question better than I could, you know, thinking about, you know, what can we do? It's this, it goes back to Just Grocery as well, because that was, how do we deconstruct our supply chain and fit a consumer need? At that time, it was groceries. We could sell a head of lettuce very easily because we have great access to heads of lettuce and things like that. And so that's also the business impetus for Housemade. Very little aside from the packaging, which is a tremendous achievement on Sandra's part, is actually very new to our supply chain. And so it's kind of taking what we've got and reconfiguring it for the market need.
And Sandra, this packaging around meal kits is crazy and so hard on the environment. I mean, you see a lot of these meal subscriptions have a small plastic package for a teaspoon of salt and a small plastic package for half a teaspoon of oregano and all of these things that really add up. And then you guys, on top of it, are using Grubhub, which a lot of third-party delivery systems add in a lot of extra utensils and add in. So how did you guys go about finding this really low impact packaging, and how do you work with your third-party delivery systems to ensure that they follow the vision that you guys want for the company?
Sure. So you're right. Meal kit packaging is a pain point for the consumer and for the environment. And we poured through research papers on meal kits, of which there are many, and there's been a lot of academic research on meal kits. And the average meal kit, by average, it means a researcher ordered 50 meal kits and weighed packaging and counted. The average meal kit contains 12 to 13 types of packaging. And so in addition to that, most of that packaging is not recyclable or compostable. And so we had a very hard line. We said no plastic containers, certainly no plastic pouches that you cannot put in the recycling bin and expect to be recycled. Soft plastics are not really recycled in any municipal program. So it was a very firm line. It was everything has to have a clear end of life that is not landfill. And so that meant recyclable. And we wanted it to be 100% recyclable. We ended up with almost 100% recyclable. There is a seasoning cup that is compostable. We recognize the limited availability of compost facilities. So that is one where we would like to still see improvement. So putting aside our packaging, I think with third-party delivery services, is actually, it works pretty seamlessly. We bag our own meal kits. And so I if I order from Grubhub, I'll get my meal kit in the paper bag that, as Andy's, yep, Andy's showing us. So really the third-party delivery piece isn't the trickiest piece here. I think the trickiest thing is to continue to lightweight our packaging even more, as much as we possibly can.
And so, Sandra, you wrote a blog post kind of debuting this new meal service, and you really did a lot of research on, I mean, the blog post covers all of the numbers behind these meal kits and then how you're going to distribute them. Was there a lot of research and development into how to make these individual elements fit exactly what you guys want at Just Salad?
There was a lot of research, for sure. And part of the research was validating to ourselves that meal kits are a net positive for the environment. And on balance, you could make the argument they are. And the reason for that is because meal kits prevent food waste. They are much less likely to result in leftover food in your fridge that you don't eat than buying an equivalent meal at the grocery store. And so the key swing factor for meal kits is food waste. And food waste is one of the main global contributors drivers of global carbon emissions. So that is not a point we should forget. And so the other swing factor in a meal kit's environmental footprint is it reducing trips to the grocery store? For customers who live in suburban areas and drive to the grocery store, are meal kits really reducing their fossil fuel usage and driving to the grocery store and buying all the other stuff they need in addition to the meal kit? And on balance, the answer is no. People still have to go to the grocery store. So one innovation that Housemade introduces or will introduce when we launch this piece of it next month or later this quarter is we're going to offer groceries along with meal kits. And that is not only convenient to the customer, it also has the effect of reducing the customer's carbon footprint, we hope.
Well, and especially after the past year we've all had with ordering takeout, it's everybody's going to need a real detox from all of these kind of things. So this is coming in the perfect amount of time.
Now, Andy took a little bit of time to show us visually everything that's in the meal kit, and we have uploaded that to our YouTube channel, so please be sure to check that out. It's not really a podcast audio material, so we took it out so you guys can watch it separately, but Andy Rooks explained how the new labels, the new plastic labels on the brown paper bags, actually dissolve in water as part of the entirely recyclable and compostable materials for the meal kit. So Sandra Noonan is going to elaborate more on how they got that label, and they created it through research and development. So we're going to pick back up with her there, just so you kind of have an idea of where and what she's talking about.
That's what we mean by being uncompromising and taking a hard line on packaging. Even stickers, like, I called up recycling facilities and recycling experts and said, would this be recycled with a normal sticker on it? Stickers are made of plastic. Like, how does that affect the recyclability? So we did our homework, and we're proud of those magical stickers that dissolve in water.
And one thing that we've gotten early feedback is that customers really appreciate us telling them how to actually dispose of this. Mm-hmm. It's not just slapping the chasing arrows on the front of the cardboard box to say, hey, this is made from cardboard, you know, recycled cardboard. That's not good enough. And so we help the consumer get there by making it really easy, really, really lightweight, and very deliberate of how you get rid of this stuff. So again, some of that great feedback we heard, it's extremely satisfying to just assemble all this stuff, not paying for the privilege of chopping onions, but really just doing the best parts of cooking and making it a really seamless experience. It should be lightweight. And on our labels, this is the last thing I promise, we point out the prep time and the cook time. I don't know if that's mirrored or not, but our prep time is 0 minutes and our cook time is 10 minutes. And people talk about how fast their meal kit is. This is truly very likely one of the fastest meal kits out there in terms of assembly time. So that's the walkthrough.
And so can people, if someone's placing an order for a meal kit, can they also purchase a salad to eat right now and then a meal kit for later? Because I know the meal kits are delivered within an hour. That's part of the deal to avoid all of that packaging. So can someone order also a salad to eat for lunch and then make this for dinner at the same time?
Yeah, that's right. So when we launch our site later next month, hopefully, that's going to come with the ability to order groceries as you do with Just Grocery, and also the ability to order prepared foods. So you can order salads off our menu to come along with it. And it's a little bit of extra prep. So we say it comes in about an hour. So yes, that is the eventual hope. And you can do that right now on Grubhub. So if you go to our third-party sites, Grubhub, Uber Eats, you can order a Housemade meal kit, and you can order a salad, smoothie, wrap, avo toast, you know, whatever you like, and it will come together.
Well, I'll certainly be very curious to speak with both of you about how the grocery launch goes, because I'm sure there have been a lot of sustainability objectives involved in getting groceries done in a eco-friendly way. And I can't even imagine, but I have so many questions already. So I'm very excited for that
one. Well, to give you a preview, we wanted to be thoughtful about how groceries are packaged as well. So to be clear, we're not going to be a full-fledged grocery store offering ice cream and or other ingredients that aren't in the just salad or culinary lineup. But the groceries we do offer, we are sticking to our packaging pledge as much as possible. So for some ingredients like bananas, for instance, we're not going to put bananas in a plastic bag because bananas come in their own natural packaging. It's called a banana peel. And we're also going to use these compostable, recyclable, mostly recyclable packaging materials throughout the grocery lineup.
The instructions on how to recycle these elements and how to get rid of the elements of the meal kit, I'm sure are going to be probably the most popular. That's something that I know from people I interact with. Just knowing how to do, people always want to recycle, but sometimes people are just really confused. And having these instructions seems really, really interesting.
Yeah, thanks for that. I think that what happens with a lot of packaging is wish cycling. You wish it were recyclable, so you, with a very hopeful intention, put everything in the recycling bin, and very little of it is actually recycled, and that we're preventing that from happening.
Well, thank you guys so much for explaining this to me and for giving me some gorgeous visuals that are going to make me go eat right now. I really appreciated you guys taking the time, and I'm really excited for this program.
Thank you.
Yeah, us too. This is a major step forward, and we like to think that we're leading the next step and the next iteration of meal kits in doing this. And so we're really excited to get this in the hands of our customers.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Extra Serving, a podcast by Nation's Restaurant News. This week's episode was written and recorded by me, Holly Petrie. It was also produced by me. We will see you next Friday.